In 2013, there was a strip of sweet little bungalows in KCK known as Startup Village. It was the first place in the world to be connected to Google Fiber's gigabit internet. The wood frame and limestone houses had an old-fashioned charm that seemed unlikely to house the next Silicon Valley. But that's what a lot of people thought they would do, or maybe just hoped, with a lot of determination. They said optimistic things like this.
I think you layer that tendency for startup communities to be collaborative to begin with, on top of the hospitality and the community-mindedness of the Midwest and Kansas City, and I think it's pretty magical.
But then you also heard stuff like this.
We like it here. We think we can execute well and scale well from here, but venture capitalists from the coast don't always see it that way. I've had a lot of VCs say, would you be willing to move to San Francisco? Would you move to New York? Would you move to Boston?
I'm Gina Kaufman, and a few years later, that's still kind of the question, right? Can you do it from here? Can Kansas City's tech industry compete with the San Franciscos and Bostons of the world? A study conducted by the Brookings Institution suggests that despite claims to the contrary, the vast majority of our country's high-tech jobs are clustered in just a handful of cities. I'm looking at a bar graph visualizing the data from that study next to American cities whose share of tech jobs is on the rise. There are blue bars moving toward the right. And next to cities where the shares of tech jobs are on the decline, you've got orange bars moving to the left. Kansas City is on the graph. Can you guess where? Smack dab in the middle. No bars. So yeah, we're kind of curious about that given all the talk about Kansas City's potential as a tech hub. Let's start by talking to Mark Murrow. He's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Tell us about the study you did. What specifically did you want to measure so we understand it?
Well, we have been fascinated and think highly important, the discussion about whether the nation's cities are diverging, moving farther apart in their trajectories, or whether they're converging, whether more of them are arriving at a kind of mean. And so we looked at this in the tech industry. We looked at four what we think are kind of classic, you know, tech services, software, data processing, computer systems design, web publishing, search. This is a portion of the tech industry, but some of the most important. And we looked at both employment growth in the recent years, and then also since 2010 to 2015, and at the same time, the changing shares each metropolitan area among the largest metropolitan areas enjoyed. What we found is gives some support for both views of convergence and divergence, concentration or the rise of the rest. We found that about 15 metropolitan areas are actually concentrating and adding to their share of the nation's tech industry as defined by those four metros.
When you you've thrown in this phrase, the rise of the rest, and I recognize what you're talking about, but I wonder if you can spell it out.
Sure. Well, ideally, it's a very attractive notion, and I think advanced by the former AOL founder, Steve Case, over in recent years, who's talked about the rise of inland, non-coastal, warhorse tech centers, and I think there is evidence here. Many metros, maybe 60 or 70 in the largest 100, are adding significant numbers of tech jobs. And to that extent, there is a rise of the rest. Tech is spreading into new markets. By this other measure of whether those markets are increasing their share of the overall national industry, you know, we found that only about 15 really are, and that lo and behold, in the end, San Francisco and San Jose were significantly increasing their concentration. So,
Goliath is getting bigger?
In this sense, the rich are getting richer. Many places are, in fact, growing, but maybe aren't increasing their share. And when you turn to Kansas City, I think it's a somewhat impressive story, is just on the edge of the ones that are actually growing their share. It's not substantially adding to its share yet, but it actually had substantial growth, added 2,700 jobs in the last 3 years in these areas, and is on the brink, I think, of beginning to increase share. But it shows how tough this is.
Can I? Yeah. I feel like maybe you're feeling a little apologetic for what this study shows, given that you're talking to people in Kansas City. Am I correct in that?
Not really.
Just checking.
We actually find that Kansas City is right on the edge. It is not, at this point, sizably increasing its share of the national industry, which we think is one very serious, important indicator of competitiveness, but it is growing and it is just on the brink. But it does underscore that the rise of the rest is not automatic and may not happen everywhere.
You mentioned that the concept of the rise of the rest is attractive. What do you think is attractive about that as far as how the tech world sees itself?
Well, I think first, I think there are recognized trends in tech that reward superstars and reward concentration. Ultimately, that's not healthy for the country. And meanwhile, I think tech has advertised a sort of universal appeal, a solution set that can change and transform any kind of community. And I think that would be a very attractive idea, but I think it does run into realities. And there are certainly limits thus far in the extent to which tech is not just spreading, but actually leading to the rise of the rest.
So when you try to understand what cities are growing and what cities are showing some promise, why look at each city's share of tech jobs rather than just the plain old number of jobs? What is that distinction?
Well, I think we look at both, and I think it's absolutely right to be very serious about the absolute growth of jobs. I think Kansas City is certainly making progress on that front. What looking at the shift in share over time is important because it gets to the fundamental, structure of the industry and where the center of gravity is. And it's important to remember that in this industry, which has this tendency towards concentration, San Francisco, San Jose, Austin.
Yeah, lots
Dallas.
Of Texas yeah. on there. What's going on in Texas?
Well, Austin's had a long, has been a long time hardware production center, now moving into all kinds of other technologies. That's part of this concentration. So I think that these are each valid measures, and I think Kansas City should certainly derive encouragement from its job growth, and it should keep its eye on the idea of the challenge of actually breaking into beginning to increase its share.
You know, Indianapolis makes a pretty strong showing on this list of cities you studied, and you also see maybe a little more significant growth in Madison, Wisconsin, too. So these are also cities in the inland area, as you described it. And I wonder what you think are the major differences between Kansas City and Indianapolis and even Madison.
Yeah, a couple things. So a couple things jump out. Also in that top 15 that actually is growing jobs but also expanding share, you have places not only Madison but Provo, Pittsburgh, all of these places have Research One universities, and that's clearly part of the picture because it becomes this talent supply chain pipeline for really well-trained places, often, you know, emanating directly from a computer sciences program. Indianapolis, though, is interesting. It has an underlying big business base, especially in the life sciences, which I think, you know, certainly is, you know, had demands for digital production as well. But it also has a history with the big company Salesforce, which had a progenitor company in Indianapolis. So it's no stranger to this, and I think that it's beginning to lead to all kinds of entrepreneurship around Salesforce. So, you know, each place has its own trajectory, its own distinctive trends and institutions. But Indianapolis shows it's possible. All of these places, there are 15 or so places that show this ability to expand share while also just adding jobs.
You know, I'm getting kind of, as far as national context goes, mixed messages, I would say, about the role of the Boston, New York, Washington, D.C. corridor in the tech world. Can you tell me where you see the East Coast fitting in?
Yeah, there's no doubt, you know, New York and Boston is certainly a player in all of these things. Our measure doesn't quite pick up its full array of specializations. So it looks lower on this, but I think we probably miss certain things there. New York is a very large player, the third largest of all. And I will say tech does seem at this stage to favor large. Scale drives growth. It has these huge
big cities.
Yeah, it's certainly a big city phenomena. And if you look at in terms of absolute growth, you know, it's San Francisco, San Jose, New York, Dallas, Boston, Austin, Seattle, L.A., these big historical centers.
So not quite the trend-bucking thing people maybe hope. But I mean, okay, I read this analysis of your study by Richard Florida, and he says that cities with high shares of tech jobs are places with more white-collar knowledge and education-based jobs and not as many blue-collar jobs. And those cities also have more workers who use public transit while tech growth is apparently negatively associated with people driving to work alone. What does that mean to you? I mean, do these factors seem significant?
I think that there is a clear association with one thing you put your finger on, which is big. And then I think along with that goes, you know, fairly high education levels and other sort of amenities of this kind of often coastal lifestyle-oriented, you know, education-centered metropolitan area. So, you know, mass transit may be an indicator of that. I think it speaks more to a type of, you know, community and the kind of amenities that are available that especially appeals to these tech-oriented, well-educated workers.
The blue-collar versus white-collar jobs thing, though, I mean, strikes me in a lot of ways as maybe a measure of the gap between the haves and have-nots in those cities. So if we see a huge tech growth in cities with lots of white-collar workers and very few blue-collar workers, couldn't you possibly see that as a way of saying these are a lot of places with rich people, places where blue-collar workers maybe can't afford to live, and that those cities seem to be doing well in the tech field?
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, large-scale growth in tech leads to a widening of income gaps simply because of the very high returns to these industries. And it's no doubt that, you know, some of the places that are most dominant in this field have wide income. They have high income levels as places themselves, but then high variation of income within them, and that comes with these tech economies, which I think have a kind of winner-take-all, divergent nature.
So, I mean, I guess if relative livability for middle class and poor people is something you value, could you say that being in the middle of the pack on this study isn't such a terrible thing?
Not at all. I mean, I think it is extremely important that places have a toehold in these industries because they enable all sorts of other economic gains. And it is very important that Kansas City is making progress here. It is now it is not so unbalanced, though. It is not massively tilted towards a tech economy. So it may give you time to get this right and to not only build success in tech, but also to make sure that it's inclusive, that it's broad-based. And I think that you need time to do that.
When KCUR's Central Standard returns, we'll hear from some of the biggest cheerleaders for Kansas City's tech scene. What do they have to say about all of this? And what about you? 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman, back in a minute. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And now we're going to get back to our conversation about how Kansas City's tech industry fits into the big picture nationwide. Are we on our way to becoming the tech hub so many people hope we are? A recent study shows that our share of the country's tech jobs isn't growing significantly, but I'd be curious to hear what that means to Kansas City's biggest tech proponents. Lisa Mitchell, good morning.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And Ryan Weber, hello to you.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Lisa is with us from a tech catalyst called Tech Stars Kansas City, and Ryan is the president of the KC Tech Council. So, Ryan, what were some of your thoughts as you listened to a fellow from the Brookings Institution describe his study, which showed not significant growth for Kansas City's share of tech jobs nationwide?
Sure, and I have a ton of respect for the Brookings Institute and all the researchers showing industry data in Kansas City, but we need to be honest about that data. It is old data. It is collected from years past, and it is not reflective of current growth.
2010 to 2015, so yeah, past, but recent past.
Correct, but a year in the tech industry is like a dog year. Things change very quickly. They scale very fast, and we're seeing that with Cerner. Their expected growth is thousands of new jobs over the next several years. None of that would show up in any of the research that's being cited today. So what I would say is it's tough because you've got to look into the crystal ball and say, where is the future? And technology is finding its way into industries that are the bedrock of Kansas City's economy. It's transportation, agriculture, telecom, and healthcare specifically. So if I was going to place a bet on future growth of a Midwestern city, because I do think it's hard to compare Kansas City to the cities that we were talking about earlier, like San Francisco and Boston, but Indianapolis is a great comparison. And I would say that our future growth is much brighter than Indianapolis because of those key industries that we've dominated since Kansas City's been a city.
So are you saying that if you looked at our shares of tech jobs within those very specific industries, that might skew differently?
Yeah, I mean, only 33% of tech jobs are at tech companies. The rest of them, which, by the way, in Kansas City, that would be 61,465 in total tech employment. It's a lot of people. Only 33% of them work at an actual tech firm. The rest of them are spread out amongst different companies, different industries, and that's what makes this conversation a little unique.
So, Lisa, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you have anything to add to what Ryan just shared? Other responses that you had listening to that discussion about Kansas City's place in the tech picture nationwide?
Yeah. I agree with everything that Ryan just said. I also think there was a really interesting story that came out this morning in USA Today that was based upon CompTIA data looking at the tech industry. And Ryan's point is so important in terms of what is a tech job and what are tech companies. And the interesting data point that was in the article this morning was that after tech companies, and I put that quote unquote tech companies, the second highest growth of tech jobs is actually in the construction industry. 6.6 million jobs in the United States were in the construction industry in tech. So what's fascinating about that is, you know, as we have found in Kansas City, there's a huge population of people that are working in what we call the design and build industry, whether that be architecture or construction. And a lot of those jobs are now becoming tech jobs. And so what we really need to worry about is how are we going to fill all of the tech jobs, not whether or not there is tech jobs. I mean, the rise of the rest is happening here, just like it is in any other industry. And it's in fintech, it's in banking, it's in construction, it's in healthcare. Everything is becoming a tech job.
I want to turn back to Mark Murrow from the Brookings Institution just to quickly understand, Mark, did you count this kind of job in your study?
No, this is these are exactly I absolutely agree with these observations. We looked at a very, you know, narrow, as I was saying, look at particular classic identifiable tech industries. But both Lisa and Ryan are absolutely right that tech is far more diffuse and spread. It pervades the entire economy. Now, by this one measure, which, you know, I mean, the same caution applies across many places. So, you know, I doubt that the ranking is completely would be completely different if we looked at tech jobs in another way. But their point is absolutely right that this is just a thin slice of what tech is, and that there's a lot going on in Kansas City. I would say we have further work coming out that is actually going to measure the digital occupations in every place, which will blow right by all these industry, you know, divides, and we'll get another look that I'm sure will resonate more with the full extent of tech in Kansas City.
Lisa, you are nodding your head vigorously, and I wonder when you hear someone talking about digital jobs, you know, what kinds of things might that describe in Kansas City that have not been measured in the study yet?
Well, somebody, I'm trying to remember, I think it was Dan Dotdorf at Sidewalk Labs in New York, penned an article, I think it was in December, that said data is the new oil.
Huh.
And what I think is fascinating is if you look at industries like construction, architecture, or even what we're calling gov tech jobs, what people are interested in is how do we collect data on the moisture level of our buildings to figure out, you know, if the buildings, when they're being built, are built in an appropriate way. How do we collect data on whether or not we're building sustainably, whether we're using less water? I mean, all of these things are very data focused and are requiring a significant amount of computer science and data science skills. And I think what we're seeing is that data is the new oil means every single company is now not only looking at what they're producing, but they're looking at what data do we have within our company and is that data valuable to someone else. And so it's not only changing what companies do, but what companies think about themselves and what they're able to offer to the rest of the world as product could also be the data that's flowing through their veins, so to speak.
Lisa, you know, when we talk about Kansas City's potential in the tech field, Ryan mentioned that maybe it's not fair or right or worthwhile to compare us to a place like San Francisco. How do you see that? I mean, are we actually striving to keep pace with cities like San Francisco, or do you see what it means to succeed here in different terms?
Yeah, so, you know, I my youngest son lives in San Francisco, and I know what he pays for rent.
And yikes, right?
Yeah, and clearly, I think what we're finding, I just got back from the Rise of the Rest Summit, and what we're finding is we're seeing people move back to places where they're from because they can actually afford to live there and they can actually afford to hire people. I mean, what the growth that we're seeing in Kansas City of some of our early stage companies is, you know, what we're going to turn into is a talent war. And I mean, that's where you do see companies.
What do you mean a talent war?
Well, the
spell
talent,
that out.
The talent war means at the end of the day, to grow as a company, you need access to talent. Brian just talked about the number of new jobs that Cerner is going to have. So we need to figure out how do we grow that talent here? And sometimes the reason that companies move to a San Francisco or New York, they are big cities, big populations, and have a significant digital talent and data science talent base that maybe we don't. And so that's why we need to focus on talent as, you know, the oil that we need.
Ryan, last time you were on our show, you talked about this issue, the number of tech jobs in Kansas City, not from a national standpoint, but from a local one. And, you know, we have more tech jobs in Kansas City than local workers can currently fill, high-paying jobs at that. Should we be more focused on training people to do the jobs we do have, or growing more significantly on the national stage, no matter who's filling the jobs? You know what I'm saying?
So the answer is yes. I think it's a multifaceted front to really accomplish what we want to accomplish. And, you know, I think Lisa brought up a great point about San Francisco. However, you know, population is exploding in cities that are essentially unaffordable. And
people move to those cities for jobs. So I'm not sure. I mean,
young people. Yeah. Because there's a perception that if the job that I am being recruited to in San Francisco, or no job in San Francisco, that there are thousands of other tech companies for me to work at. And that's true. But you know what? It's also true in Kansas City. But the perception is not that for Kansas City, but it could be. And that's a lot of what at the Tech Council we want to focus on. Kansas Cityans need to start believing that we are the tech hub in the Midwest, because we are.
Well, it sounds like you're also saying people outside of Kansas City need to believe that.
And eventually they will. But locally, we've got to believe that ourselves, because that's where it starts. And again, I think that if, and I know for a fact, because I'm even traveling this week, and I can tell you that business leaders on the coast are incredibly concerned about the rising cost of labor and the cost of doing business. That does not mean that they are going to relocate headquarters from any of these major markets. They will still have a presence. But I'm convinced, like a lot of other folks in the economic development world are too, that they are going to look right in the middle of the country and they're going to say, pick a city, and we need to have another office in that city, because it is very unpredictable about our future in either one of these coastal locations. And they're going to look at Chicago, Kansas City, Dallas, and Minneapolis, the three or four major tech cities in the Midwest, and they're going to pick one. And depending on the industry, and the workforce is the only driving factor to that decision making. They're going to look at where is there a current workforce, but more importantly, because we're tech, we look at the future. There needs to be a perception that Kansas City will have a future tech workforce. And that is on the young middle schoolers in our schools today need to decide if they're going to have these skills or not, because that's how far out we're looking.
So you think, I mean, as far as measuring future potential, I mean, do you think that, like, investors or big company heads are looking at, like, test scores of middle schoolers, things like that? What are they looking
at? They're looking at how many middle schoolers are choosing STEM education as part of their overall curriculum. How many of those are choosing computer science or tech courses? Because that's our future workforce. And if there's a small number of those students, which right now in Kansas City there is, and that's a very real issue that we've got to face, why are young people not pursuing these skills? And by the way, we're not losing to any other cities. This is a national problem. There's no one out there that we can say, gosh, this is a model we should really adopt in Kansas City. The good news is that our competition hasn't figured this out either. The opportunity in that is we can, and we should. If we do, then we'll win. And it's literally that simple. But right now, I think, again, it's not about today's numbers. Business leaders across the country are looking at the future. And they will, I said this before in the last show, tech companies will only exist in cities that can produce their own talent. And that day is coming, and it's going to be in the very near future.
Ryan, you know, one of the things that you and I have talked about is that there are, universities that are producing talent, and we should look at the percentage of STEM graduates that are coming from those universities. But there are also companies that are producing talent, like Galvanize, like General Assembly, that are producing tech talent. General Assembly has 20 campuses in six countries and has 40,000 alumni, meaning 40,000 tech individuals that have graduated from General Assembly. And the company's been around for like 5 years.
So places where people would be presumably cutting their teeth?
Exactly. And so, you know, I think the question is, how does Kansas City get in the groove with the General Assembly or Galvanizes to get them to come to our community and stop just focusing on, I mean, we have to continue to focus on STEM graduates at the university, but we have to focus on how do we increase this number tomorrow by 10,000?
Right. Lisa brings up an excellent point in this because there's short-term and long-term. Sorry, Gina.
No, please go on.
The short-term opportunity is that you've got to take what we have. And right now in Kansas City, I would say we're guilty of having an overeducated and underskilled workforce. So
what's the difference between education and skill when we're talking about tech?
You know, I'll give myself an example. I have a marketing degree from K-State. And on a resume and an online application, I would immediately be rejected from that system because of my degree. However, I have tech skills. And because of those skills, I'm highly employable. And it's literally a one degree shift for many of these students graduating. If you just have a marketing degree, you're not employable. And that's a very serious fact. However, if you have a marketing degree with some data analytics, some web design attached to those as core skill sets, highly employable, and you're going to make a lot of money. And that's based on real data from Kansas City's tech industry. The average salary is $90,000 a year.
Where do you get the skill set if not through education?
So this is the key point here. Because even at most of our higher education institutions, it's available to every single student. There's these programs there. They're not pursuing those skills because often they're hard to obtain because at most of them, you have to have a computer science. You have to focus on computer science, which is in the engineering department at most of our schools. It's very hard to get through the entry courses to even take computer science. So most students choose not to. However, Johnson County Community College and Metropolitan Community College, Centric Training are the groups we have now. But as Lisa mentioned, there's folks
like
Galvanize.
But wait, Ryan, you said
that
you have a degree in marketing and yet you have tech skills. Where did you get tech skills?
It's self-taught. And we polled our CIOs who are part of our organization where their most talented people come from, and they're self-taught. But that's going to change because you can't scale a workforce with people learning these skills on their own. They've got to be inspired either at a young age or retrained, and that's the short-term opportunity for us.
Well, listeners, call 816-235-2888 if you are part of Kansas City's startup community or if you see yourself as a potential investor. Like, we're curious what you think Kansas City's strengths and challenges are as we try to stake out an identity as a tech hub. We've got a little time left for this conversation, so you've got an opportunity still to weigh in at 816-235-2888. And Ryan, I wonder if, you know, earlier in the show, we heard about investors, venture capitalists from the coasts, expressing some skepticism to a Kansas City entrepreneur, you know, someone who was getting off the ground. Is that still a tone that you hear in the conversation?
Okay, I love this conversation, and I want to address this very clearly. Venture capitalists are followers. They follow talent, and they invest in people. They do not lead the tech industry. However, that's been a perception change. I think most of venture capitalists I know would agree. They follow very talented people, and they invest in those people. And Kansas City is full of those people. But there have been venture capitalists that believe that you're more likely to be successful if you scale your company in a certain area. But that perception is based on workforce. They believe that there's a greater workforce in those cities. However, we're lucky. We have a very strong tech workforce in Kansas City, and we just have to change that perception because it's not about success. It's about workforce.
Lisa, what are your thoughts about how investment enters the picture as you evaluate Kansas City's future potential in this world?
Sure. Well, Techstars, as a company, is an investor. And we actually started in what could be called a Rise of the Rest city in 2007 in Boulder, Colorado. And since 2007, we've invested $28 million in companies that are in what are considered rise of the rest cities. So we have believed for a long time that it's an asset class. Brad Feld at the Foundry Group has had a venture firm in Boulder investing in companies all over the country, not in his own, just in his own backyard, since that amount of time. So I agree with Ryan that it's a myth more than it is truth. And we're absolutely seeing every single day new investors from both inside and outside the United States investing in companies in Kansas City. So I
don't... Does it have to do in any way with Kansas City itself, or is it that they're just sort of location blind in some way?
They're location blind. I mean, investors care about can the founders scale the company, and is the company going to make them a lot of money? End of story. They're location agnostic. The only reason you see more of it happening in both of those places is, as I think Steve Case has said, investors are also lazy. And so if they, you know, are located in San Francisco, the opportunity to find companies in their backyard is greater. But we've seen with growth.
So we need more millionaires, too.
Right. So we've seen with growth of both Darcy Howe's fund at Casey Rise, as we've seen with John Fine's new fund and other venture capital funds being situated here in Kansas City, it will change all of that. But we're still going to see companies that are starting and growing here that are going to be invested in from all over the world.
So do you think, I mean, we could look at Kansas, the number of jobs, tech jobs in Kansas City as compared to tech jobs available nationwide. But then we're a smaller city than a lot of cities that are doing well in that. I mean, if you have fewer people, I guess it's not such a big surprise that you would also have fewer jobs in any given industry. But what about if we looked at the number of tech jobs we have in Kansas City as compared to just the local economy? So the significance of those jobs to the local economy. Is that a worthwhile way of measuring this, or is that kind of missing the mark?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a Kauffman Foundation alum, so it's impossible for me to not say net new job creation is usually from startups. And if you look at the recent Kauffman Index of startup activity, Kansas City went from 29th in 2015 to 18th in the nation in 2016. So the number of new firms that are being created here is definitely going up as compared to, I mean, that's 18th across the cities across the United States. And so we're seeing net new increase of jobs come from startups at a much higher rate, which is good for everybody.
Well, hold that thought, because we still have a little time left for this conversation about tech growth, or maybe lack thereof, in Kansas City. Lots of reasons to be optimistic that we're hearing from our guests. We'll get back to Mark Murrow from the Brookings Institution for his response. I'm Gina Kaufman. We are back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we're finding some local nuance behind a study showing that nationally, tech growth seems to be concentrated in a handful of big cities, mostly on the coasts, despite the industry's claims that this is a level playing field. The picture here in Kansas City seems to be more complicated than that. Our guests are Ryan Weber and Lisa Mitchell from the local tech scene and Mark Murrow from the Brookings Institution. I'm going to hear what Mark has to say about what our local guests have added to this. But first, we have a caller at 816-235-2888 who wants to chime in. Scott in Overland Park, thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What can you share?
Lisa, I'm a serial tech entrepreneur based in Kansas City, and I've done a lot of thinking over the years about the tech ecosystem in Kansas City. In fact, Lisa and I have talked a time or two about this very subject. And the thought I wanted to share is just this, the idea that, you know, there are several elements that go into an ecosystem. One of the significant items is, of course, capital. And I think in Kansas City, what we see is that there is a lack of capital for tech startups. And I think the main reason for that is that people tend to invest in what they know. And there's just not a lot of people here in the Midwest that have created a lot of wealth in tech, and that's changing, and it has changed over the years. But, you know, whereas on the coast, either coast, you've got, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have made exits or, you know, created wealth in one way or another out of technology and then reinvest. Whereas here in Kansas City, you know, you've got a very tiny handful of people. I mean, you know, and you could argue that it's only like a dozen or so. So I think that's a significant factor. And, you know, I've raised venture capital several times. In all cases, it's come from my angel investors have come from the coast. Some of them have come from Kansas City. But one of the sentiments that we hear when pitching venture capital firms on the coast about investing in the Midwest firm is that, you know, a lot of them don't like to invest outside of their area.
Their geographic
some of them will,
area.
But correct.
Well, Lisa, I wanted to get your response to this because you're kind of our investment person.
So, I mean, we can see, as I said earlier, there are more startup jobs in San Francisco, San Jose area. I mean, more startup companies per capita. And so, of course, it's easy to invest in your backyard. But if you look at the companies just in the last year that have raised money in Kansas City from venture capitalists, a majority of those venture capitalists are from outside both the United States, as in Toby's case, as well as in Davion's case, you know, San Francisco, New York, et cetera. So we are absolutely seeing VCs are scrambling to put money in the best companies that they can, and they're getting on airplanes. I mean, you look at the Techstars mentors that I have signed up for the Kansas City program. I have lots of people coming from San Francisco to Kansas City to mentor the startups that are coming through here. So they're getting on airplanes much more so than they used to. I think he is right that that was the norm probably 5-10 years ago, was that people only, because they were lazy and it was easy, invest in my backyard.
You know, Mark Murrow, you've been listening to this conversation, and I know that you have included Kansas City in your studies. Does anything surprise you in what you're hearing? Would you want to challenge anything you've heard so far?
No, I actually, you know, I'm excited by what I'm hearing. And I think what's most important, I think, in ensuring that the rise of the rest really can happen is the existence of passionate, committed, locally minded leadership. You know, I think that's absolutely crucial. I think what you know, Lisa and Ryan are articulating, and you've had other leadership from the Kauffman Foundation and your business community, all of that is absolutely so crucial. So I think that rich feel for a local ecosystem is the first prerequisite if you're really going to have the rise of the rest. I'm an optimist about the rise of the rest. I think it can happen. I think that the conditions in the Bay Area, for instance, are on the brink of forcing an exodus of some companies. Not all companies have to be there. And I know for a fact.
And because of cost of living?
The cost of living, and some are even worried about groupthink, that the entire global tech scene may be falling, prey to a limited number of ideas, given groupthink in the Bay Area. So I think there are a lot of people who are really beginning to think about exiting. I think there are VCs who are asking founders, what's your talent status? What's your growth strategy? And do you have a strategy outside of the Bay Area?
You know,
I really think there are opportunities here. And I think that Kansas City is, you know, it's already on the brink, even by our limited analysis. I think that, you know, there are things happening in tech that may well begin to change some of these dynamics.
I'm curious, and I want to turn to Ryan on this. When we talk about the rise of the rest, it seems like an aspiration related to like really idealistic concepts, like sort of grounded in a desire for technology to be a place where anyone can make it. Like the picture that people have in their heads is of a guy or a girl, like young person in a hoodie somewhere, just figuring something out in some unlikely corner and being the next big entrepreneur, you know, like changing something in society for the betterment of all. But what can you tell me about equality within tech? I mean, gender, race, education background, are these areas in Kansas City where you see a real level playing field within the tech industry?
Well, everyone is struggling with diversity in tech, every city, you know, across the entire country, but we're lucky in Kansas City. In fact, Smart Assets just recently released a report that again showed that there is equality amongst specifically gender in Kansas City's tech industry. In fact, women that are in tech make more money than men in Kansas City, which is an amazing statistic and very different than what you'd see in the cities on the coasts. So we certainly have that as a strength. And by the way, that's looked at as a very positive thing in Kansas City's tech industry. In fact, I just saw a report yesterday that Facebook is requiring their vendors to take that seriously too. So, you know, if they're a lopsided company with gender or diversity, Facebook doesn't want to do business with them. So in a lot of ways, the tech industry sets some of these trends, and we're lucky we do have a strength in that regard.
Lisa, for you, I mean, as you talk to women in tech locally, do you find that people are experiencing tech as a welcoming industry? Because I have read articles about that, at least in the big centers for tech, like on the coast, specifically San Francisco, Silicon Valley, that's not always the experience people are having.
Yeah, I agree with you. And at Techstars, we're bending over backwards and doing flips to make sure that we're recruiting diverse founders. And a funny little data point is, as I look at the companies that came through the Sprint Techstars program, three of those companies actually moved to Kansas City and ended up staying in Kansas City. And in all three cases, one of the co-founders are a woman, which I think is a little bit telling about Kansas City. I mean, it's, again, I think a very welcoming place, but we are going to try to find as much diversity in the startup community as we can. Everybody is supporting it. We're doing everything that we can to support women entrepreneurs, and the venture capitalists are, there's many VC firms today who actually will say, we aren't interested in funding your company unless there's a woman on the founding team. And so, as Ryan said, in some ways the tech industry is leading by almost putting some requirements in place that are enabling women to have open doors that they didn't previously have.
Ryan, do you see, like, is there some sort of gatekeeping mechanism in tech locally?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, just the thing that keeps some people from participating when others are finding their way in.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's initial perception that these skills are hard to obtain and that if I wasn't a good student, I may not be very strong with tech skills. And that's absolutely not true. In fact, I noticed on Twitter that somebody asked about math skills. And even though that always comes up, math and strong math skills are not a predictor of strong tech skills. But, you know, it's still important. As long as you have a base level education, you can be a very strong technologist and have a great career in the tech industry.
So it sounds like you're a big advocate that perception is our biggest problem.
Absolutely.
Well, Ryan Weber of the KC Tech Council, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Mark Murrow of the Brookings Institution, thank you.
Great. Thank you all.
Lisa Mitchell of Kansas City Techstars, it's great meeting you. Thanks for stopping by.
You too. Thank you.
You can listen back to this discussion at kcur.org/Central Standard. Tomorrow, a spring best of edition of Central Standard will take you to conversations with a seed saver, an artist, and a scientist who studies bugs. The fun drive will be going on, and if you love this show, that'd be an okay time to make your pledge. Just saying. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Andrea Tudhope, and Suzanne Hogan. Caitlin Troutman is our intern. I'm Gina Kaufman.